When you first come down with a cold, how do people react to you? Or sprain your ankle? Or break an arm? You notice they're so moved. They just come around and they hug you and they make tea and they make dinner. It's just wonderful. They'll do anything for you. But let your recovery take a few months or years. And those once warm hugs start cooling. People wonder, are you doing enough to get better? Are you starting to like being dependent? Get over it. If you were a paralytic in the first century, you had poor health care, no work, less hope, and people looking down on you. Psalm 41, my enemies wish me the worst. They mouth kind platitudes while gathering gossip to entertain the crowds at my expense. He's got a dirty disease, you know. The doctors gave up. A fellow I know, once an accomplished athlete, was also a heavy drinker. One day, he just walked off a roof. In Jesus' day, if you were sick, the popular assumption was that it was somehow your fault. Or worse, God's judgment on you. Admit it. Sometimes you felt that about yourself. Something happened and you asked, gee, what is God trying to teach me? What did I do wrong? It is said that if you were a leper or blind or lame, you were not supposed to even come within eyesight of the temple. Banned from God's presence. Think of it. That was true of most of the people that Jesus healed. The living presence of God had come in Jesus to Capernaum, but the crowds were in the way. I mean, you and I tend to be impressed with large crowds. I mean, you know, how significant the event is named by how many people showed up for the protest. But crowds are always in Jesus' way and always blocking the way to Jesus. Crowds take on a life of their own and can be downright dangerous. I pray, and I hope you pray as well, that no other people be injured in the Hajj. 700, that's awful. Following Jesus is not the same as following a fad. It's serious work. Dean Inge said, whoever marries the spirit of the age, destined to be a widowed in the next. What the crowd wants today, what the public wants, what Canadian society wants, might agree with God, but it could be totally opposed. Maybe that's why Jesus, when he talked to the crowds, he talked in parables. But then he reveals his most intimate secrets in homes and houses and private conversations. That's why people here at the Res often meet in small groups, in house groups, homes groups, cell groups, prayer groups, dinner shuffles. There's even a knit night with a bishop's wife. Seriously. This new book group led by Judith Cook, they're going to be reading Brené Brown's book, The Gifts of Imperfection, Let Go of Who You Think You're Supposed to Be and Embrace Who You Actually Are. A great study. This will be starting up after Thanksgiving, meeting every 3 or 4 weeks, Sunday afternoon, 4 to 6 p.m. The point of the study is to embrace who you are, to live a more wholehearted life along your Christian journey with vulnerability, empathy, and resilience to shame. Tough stuff. Judith will be back at the church if you want to talk to her about that. In Mark chapter 2, the crowds want healing. Jesus wants to reboot the social, political, and spiritual order under the banner of the kingdom of God. Crowds want healing. Jesus wants to heal the bent condition of human hearts, the warped way we live, our security systems that choke the life out of life. Crowds want healing. And so did four nameless men. Actually, if you notice in the text, there's much more of them. There's just four of them that carried this fellow up. There was a group of people around this paralytic when they arrived. Only four could make it up the stairs, apparently. And they wanted healing, not for themselves, but for their paralyzed friend. Now, it's important to notice that in shame-based cultures, such as in the Middle East, it's unusual for a person to associate with somebody who's broken, because you might find that society says of you that you can't find anybody else better to hang around with. We had a lady who lived in India for nearly a year. She absolutely agreed. That's the way it is. Got to be careful. This man has a bunch of friends, four of whom believe in him and believe in Jesus. And they changed the story. Good on them. The crowd was in the way, but they climbed every height. They broke through and they sent their friend to Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, they dared to do the difficult, writes Ben Witherington, the dangerous, the controversial, to bring their friend into the presence of Jesus. Pause. Do you have that determination to bring troubled people into the presence of Jesus? So ask yourself the question, where do you find the presence of Jesus? Have you ever taken a friend there? What holds you back from doing that? Might Jesus be present there too for your troubled friend? Change the story. Jesus doesn't hesitate at all. My child, your sins are forgiven. Put yourself in the paralyzed man's place. Listen as if you were on that mat. You hear, forgiven. But you do not rise. You're still on the mat. Matter of fact, you still can't move. Jesus, you see, is exposing the warped notion that sin somehow is at the root of this paralysis. He says to the man, rise, and he doesn't rise. There's a disconnect between those two things. Your relationship with God is not dependent on your health or your illness. Saints die of the flu as well as sinners. And some maladies, yes, can be traced to what we've done, but it ain't necessarily so. Is that George Gershwin? So. No, Jesus doesn't say, I forgive you. He says, your sins are forgiven. Listen to the invitation. Listen carefully. What he invites you to. Rise up, pick up your mat, and walk. You came to his feet because four trusting friends brought you here. Rise. Under your own power, carry your mat as your friends carried you, and walk with God. Live a fully enabled life. But then, when Jesus comes back to the invitation, he changes it a little bit. Because I want all of you to know, he says, that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, rise, take up your mat, and here's the change, and go home. Fascinating. Go home. That warm, familiar, safe place where you're always welcome. When we meet someone new, we ask them, where do you live? Where are you from? Where's home for you? Why do we do that? Because we think that maybe something about where they live might be in them, some of the character of the city. We kind of want to know that. Different thing. If you went to one of your, back to your childhood home, do you ever notice, I've had noticed this happen with me, I go back and I start reverting to behavior that I used to do then. And I start feeling the same feelings. For me, for the most part, it's insecurity. But, you know, all that stuff comes back. Home somehow gets in here. It gets to be a part of you. In the Holy Land, home isn't just where you are, it's who you are. Where your heart is with friends and family in a deep gift of shalom, peace. So we may know Jesus' authority on earth to forgive sins. He restores your health and sends you home to God's people. But then the third time the phrase comes up, it's different again. He rose up immediately, took his mat, and went out before them all, in full view of them all. That is, everybody saw. Everybody knew. Rising, you become a walking witness to the authority of Jesus to forgive and the authority to do whatever caring for people requires. The man walked home. The crowds went wild. But the teachers of the law saw Jesus as a failure. This is the first of five stories where people see Jesus as a total loser, in spite of everything else. These teachers of the law, these scribes sitting in judgment, think Jesus has overstepped his authority. Not because he said your sins are forgiven, per se. The Jewish priests in the temple did that all the time. They just did it in the temple after the appropriate sacrifices had been offered. But I ask you, if paralytics were barred from the temple, how were they supposed to get there to make the sacrifices? What more trusting faith could you ask for than these four friends had shown? Kill a cow? Really? In the words of St. Joan by George Bernard Shaw, must then a Christ perish in torment in every age to save those who have no imagination? If you can't get to the priest or the temple, Jesus, the presence of God, declares you forgiven. Which is easier to say? God's forgiveness is awfully hard to verify. A paralytic walking on 2 feet, carrying his mat with fully enabled arms, yeah, that's pretty much proof. Jesus, not a priestly part of the temple, knowing it will cause him trouble with the teachers of the law, says forgiveness anyway. So which was easier for him? Just to say, I heal, or to say, the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins? Because the latter, because that's going to cause him trouble. And this is the start of people turning on him. It will not be easy at all, because it will cost him, just it will cost him the cross to announce the world forgiven. Rise. With whatever power he gives you, go to that place you will call home and live as a witness of the authority of his authority to forgive even the likes of us. That fellow, the accomplished athlete, the drunk who walked off a roof, with the help of friends and Bible in hand, he is winning prestigious awards for motivating teenagers to fight drug addiction. Together, we can change the story. I have one last piece. This I borrow, as it will, but adapt from William Loder. He called it The Interruption. I love this. The Interruption by William Loder. It was a serious concern, a major interruption. He was teaching, we were listening. When dust fell from above, then bits of dried mud as the ceiling tiles were removed in major renovation. Light flooded in, and out came a stretcher, lowering from the hole. The crowd moved back. Jesus stopped teaching. Before us lay a man motionless, paralyzed. We were aghast. People pushing and shoving, bringing their sick is one thing, but through the roof? Jesus was calm. Your sins are forgiven. I got to imagining, Loder says. I got to imagining me taking a service, preaching, celebrating, and then somebody descends from the ceiling. Bits falling. And then there they are, spread eagle across the communion table. I look into the eyes of the interruption, and I see anger and pain and poverty and paralysis. There's no other way to get your attention, they said. You don't listen to people like us. I see a child, hundreds of them, thousands, 10,000, countless. A woman begging. A refugee family crushed by systems that poison possibilities. Able and disabled, young and aged, unemployed, people paralyzed by despair, mutilated flesh, victims of atrocity. The still silence of the beaten and afraid, and suddenly I feel like I have failed them all. Yet angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. In my dream, I forgot where I was. I lost my place in the sacred book. Some of you are leaders of liturgies. This is a nightmare when you can't find your place in the book. I couldn't even find the book. I stood before the table, unable to move, as if in a deep sleep, looking into the eyes of the one sprawled across the table. The words which wakened me, I knew well. Your sins are forgiven. They came from the table, from the one stretched on it. Interrupted my sleep, summoned me to get up and to get on with it. And just like that, the table was just as it was before. The figure had ascended, the ceiling whole. As I stand before this table, I hear the cries of interruption above the hymns, the service, above the angels and heavenly hosts, cherubim and seraphim. I hear sighing. The paralyzed move and speak. They protest and tear off the covers. They float in the cup of wine and break in the broken bread. There is my nourishment, my deliverance from paralysis, my path from the betrayal of the world's people through the busyness of religion. I look out and I see paralyzed systems, paralyzed congregations, paralyzed ministry. And yet over them, the words, "Your sins are forgiven. Rise, embrace your calling, and bring them all home." I treasure those moments when the heavens are torn apart and the Spirit descends and I rise from the waters and I know there is hope. Amen.